Welcome into episode 352 of the Skate Podcast. I am Brian DeFelice, joined by Scott McLaughlin. Bridget has, I believe, broadcasting duties today. Of course, with her luck, Scott, it's the day that all the news breaks regarding Jeremy Swayman. So let's get right into it. The Bruins and Swayman agree, finally, to an eight-year, $66 million contract where his annual value is $8.25 million. Scott, if you ask my opinion quickly, the team probably paid a little bit more than they hoped. The player probably got a little bit less than he thought he deserved. And that's a sign of a good deal where both parties have to compromise. The fans are happy. Let's get this show on the road.
Yeah, and they end up a whole $250,000 a year off of what I said made sense at the end of the season back in May. Amazing that it took 5 months to get to this point, but at least they finally got there, and they did it before opening night, 2 days before. Swayman, it sounds like, will not be ready to start opening night, but I think the Bruins expect him to be game ready pretty quickly here early in the season. Jonas Korpisalo will start opening night. We'll get into the roster ramifications and whatnot, but yeah, obviously the biggest story is just that it got done after a whole week of, you know, Cam Neely's comments on Monday and Swayman's agent, Lewis Gross, responding that night, and you know, take a few days to decide what they want to do next. And, you know, I think we said this on our last episode. It was like, despite all of that, there's reports out there that they're not that far apart. And it's like, all right, cooler heads have to prevail, right? And like, everyone kind of sits down and figures out that, okay, we can actually bridge this gap and get this done. And they finally did, right? Like, Bruins came all the way up to eight. That was what Cam Neely said. There were reports that Swayman and his agent finally got below asking for nine at some point. And so, yeah, you end up somewhere in between 8.25. Like you said, probably a little more than the Bruins would have hoped and less than Swayman would have wanted, but that's the name of the game. So both sides probably, you know, I still think probably too stubborn along the way, but not stubborn enough to let this bleed into the regular season and start, you know, costing Swayman money or hurting the Bruins cap or any of the other stuff, or just hurting the team, which is what could have happened. So
yeah, the final number that they agreed to, really, you see it, and your thought is, why did it take so long if this is what it was? Because it makes a lot of sense. I know that we talked about comps. You talked about comps in the past to Swayman's situation with previous goaltenders, and 7-8 offered by the Bruins, 8 offered by the Bruins, all would have been more than what Swayman's comps would have been in the past. Obviously, you nor I will sit here and say 8.25 is that's not that's fair too. Like, you know, you have to pay for one of the best goalies in the world for sure. But even as recent as yesterday morning, Scott, David Pagnotta, if that's how you say his name, he was reporting that that Swayman's camp had come down into the eights, but the high eights. And we all know the Bruins were at eight. And so even as recent as 30 hours ago, they could have been as far apart as close to a million. And you know, I mentioned online, I said, look, the player needs to come down still. Like, if somebody has to move here, it's the player. And it's funny because you'll mention the Bruins' initial offer of 6.25 and Swayman's initial ask of 9.5, and the Bruins had moved up almost 2 million from their initial offer, and Swayman's camp moved down like 5 to 700K from theirs. And most people understand where I'm going with that, which is the final number is closer to the team's latest offer than the player's recent ask. And everybody will go online and say, oh, that's not how it works. The Bruins could have offered this. It's like, guys, look, I'm not interested in playing the could have, should have, would have game. Like, I'm just going off of reported offers that were out there. And the fact of the matter is, I never thought that the Bruins were going to pay Swayman 8.5 plus. I always thought it was going to be probably low eights. And if that's the case and the player was at high eights and the Bruins were at eight, something had to give, and it was the player. And it makes all the sense in the world. You just kind of wonder, I don't know, did it have to take them a day before open? I'm glad it happened, obviously, but did it have to take them a day before the roster cut down? Because now, you know, Swayman has to get caught up to speed, and you know, I would like to see him in the net Tuesday night against Florida. I know it's not realistic, but if I had to pick my guy, I'd rather it be Swayman, but he doesn't have the reps in training camp to get tossed into the fire just yet, and that's unfortunate.
Right, and Swayman, like, I already had one person tweet at me, like, so he's held out of all camp, and now he's not ready to go, and it's like, well, no, he's been working out. He's been on the ice. He said he was over at BU. I was happy to hear him say he now considers himself an honorary terrier, even though he's the main black bear. So, yeah, like, he's been on the ice. He's been working out. He's been practicing. He's been facing shots. But that's very different than NHL practice, games, NHL shots. Like, that, you know, they're going to have one practice down in Florida on Monday. That's just not enough. Like, any other game after that, you know, maybe he gets two or three practices in by Thursday, by the home opener. Or, you know, it might take a game or two longer than that. Like, we'll see. But he'll be ready pretty quickly here. It's not going to take a long ramp-up time. It's just too quick of a turnaround for Tuesday night.
Right. Now, as it pertains to the rest of the season, because I don't know about you, Scott, and maybe we'll have to discuss it a little bit when Bridget gets back on tomorrow's episode, which will be more about season previews and stuff. But now I'm just kind of like, now can we just be done? We can just be done talking about the Jeremy Swayman contract stuff. I mean, we can still break down all, you know, how it all played out, but I'm not interested anymore. Now that it's done, it's like, okay, thank God. And what I can say is, looking forward beyond the first week of the season, it's stating the obvious. The Bruins ceiling is back on, right? If they had to play the year, I was trying to be glass half full, because the reality could have been they were without Swayman for half the year or more. And in those situations, you try to see, okay, how can they do without him? And I still think their roster outside of the goal is good enough to make the playoffs and see what happens. But there's obviously no question right now there, in my opinion, the Bruins ceiling is undoubtedly a Stanley Cup. Obviously, I think they're one of probably six or seven teams that very well could be saying the same thing right now. And then we'll see how the season plays out. And there could be some dark horses right now that end up having a great year and they're cup contenders. But it just feels so much better now that he's back in net. And we all wanted this all along. I think any negativity towards the topic, at least from my perspective, was because I just know how important the player is. And I knew that, you know, certainly the later reports of what the Bruins offered was fair for him. And as it turns out, he signs a week later. So the history books will look back and say it wasn't that long of a sweat out period once Neely went public. You just wonder, why wasn't that stuff said behind the scenes? Like,
yeah, and I'm sure it was. You know, as we know, Cam Neely can be a little bit of a hothead and just says what's on his mind. And obviously, that was the topic of the press conference this Sunday. So Jeremy Swayman and Don Sweeney both met with the media. I was over there at Warrior. And both were asked about Neely's comments and then Lewis Gross's response and how did that affect negotiations. And to both of their credits, they kind of just took the high road. They weren't going to talk about it. You know, what's in the past is in the past. It's part of negotiations. And now we're just focused on the present and the future and in the start of the season. So that's, you know, how I would have expected them to answer it. But obviously we have to ask the questions. And, you know, I think you do kind of wonder a little bit of Swayman, right? Because we've heard, you know, how often he's referenced like arbitration, which he was asked about again on Sunday too. You know, he was asked like, last season you referenced your arbitration multiple times and you using that as motivation, right? We learned that in this Amazon series where he talked about even in the playoffs, he's still using that as motivation. So he was asked, you know, are you going to use kind of this whole process all summer, these negotiations or Neely's comments or whatever as motivation the same way? And he just said the Stanley Cup is his motivation. Like, he just said that's his motivation. So, good answer for now. You know, we'll see if maybe at some point in the season he brings it up out of the blue like he did with arbitration last year. Or has he kind of learned that lesson? He's not, maybe he's not going to go down that road, even if he is thinking about it. But, you know, at least for Sunday, it was, you know, kumbaya. Everyone's back on the same page, passes the pass, and they're moving on.
And as it should be, the reality of the situation is now he's a Boston Bruin until 2032. And Scott, I don't believe I mentioned off the top some of the details as it pertains to no movements and but I believe he has a full no move for the first like 70%, and then he has a couple of no trade lists, I think, as the contract gets older.
I think the no move kicks in year three, if I have it right. So I think it's years. So I think the first 2 years, I think there's no trade protection at all. So like that kind of, if you wanted to look at it, like that kind of covers his RFA years. And then I think full no move kicks in year three through six. Then it goes down to like a 10 team trade list and then a 10 team no trade. But yeah, but there is trade protection. I don't think it's right off the bat. And then, you know, the way it's structured, there's all like people might have seen there's kind of the structure of his salary and signing bonuses. All fans really need to know is the cap hit is $8.5 million all 8 years. That does not change. That stays the same no matter what. He's actually getting paid in terms of cash from year to year.
Mm-hmm. So let's talk about the actual contract, Scott. The 8.25 AAV you just referenced, and personally I have zero doubts that that contract will look amazing, even better and better and better as the years go on. I think earlier in episodes, if I ever referenced, well, he hasn't played a full slate of games, he was splitting the net with Allmark, I was not saying that in a from a perspective of I don't believe he can do it given the opportunity. It was, we were talking about negotiations and both sides tend to be black and white, right? As you learn in like arbitration. So I was trying to play devil's advocate for the team, as you know, as well as the player and different things too. But I have no doubt that he will be a top goalie in the league for years to come. The only question is injury, which every player has that question mark. So I don't really like going there because there's nothing you can do about that. So barring injuries, Scott, I think the Bruins will have one of the top goalies in the league continue to for another almost decade where the Bruins won't have to worry about goaltending. And we are already going on 2+ decades of that. So we are spoiled in Boston as it pertains to goaltending.
Yeah. And I think it's going to be interesting to watch, you know, how his workload does increase and what that ramp up looks like. We talked about this when we had Razor on, you know, a month or a month and a half ago, whenever that was, about how he's probably not going to jump straight from a career high 43 starts to like 60 plus, you know, more likely it's maybe you add 10 to 12 starts to his workload the first year, get him up to like 53, 55. That probably feels about right. Korpisalo starts, you know, around 30 games, maybe slightly less. And then you see how he handles that. Like, all right, if he's still fresh at the end of the year and hopefully can handle every game and what you hope is a long playoff run, okay, then maybe next year you ramp it up a little bit more. But that is going to be interesting to watch because I know with some goalies who play, like, I know, like, there's Winnipeg Jets fans who think that Connor Hellebuck playing 60-plus games has hurt him in the playoffs. Like, his playoff numbers have not been nearly as good as his regular season numbers, and there's kind of this sentiment that he wears out late in the season. And it's like, well, why not get a better backup and, like, start to reduce his workload, right? Like, the Bruins did that with Tuukka Rask. You know, he had the big-money contract. Everyone knew he was the guy in the playoffs, but they made sure they always had a number two that they felt good enough about to handle, you know, 25, 30 starts towards the end of Rask's career, even more than that. You know, so Swayman's young, he's in his prime. I don't think he's going to be going back to a 50-50 split anytime soon, but what that number of starts actually looks like is going to be interesting to monitor this year, next year, going throughout this contract.